Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Now, maybe today you watch this little video, and you see yourself in this picture that we just saw. Maybe you see yourself today as the wildebeest. You know, we could preach on this. We could talk about how there's a roaring lion seeking to devour our lives. And so we have to watch that we don't get separated from the herd, that there's safety in the herd. There's safety in the body of Christ. And we got to watch that we don't get isolated, get out there all alone, because when we do, we could be attacked. The lion will come after us. The cheetah will chase us down. And maybe today you see yourself in that picture of this video. But church, I want to challenge you to see yourself from a different perspective today. I want to challenge you to see yourself as the cheetah who's getting up every morning and going after the best that God has for you. It's going after being all that God says you can be, because I'm convinced today that if we're gonna be the person God wants us to be, if we're gonna be that you that's inside of you, that's greater than the you see, we're gonna have to get up and we're gonna have to run. No matter how dry it might be, no matter how dusty it might be, no matter how elusive the dream might seem, if we're gonna have God's best for our lives, we're gonna have to get up from out underneath that shade tree and run after all God has for us. Who's ready to run today? Well, good morning. Happy Sunday morning. I just wanted to encourage you. I watch this video and I get fired up, because I believe that God has great things in store for your future. I believe that God has even greater things than we've ever thought or imagined in store for this church. And it's going to take every one of us to run and go after that. Today, I hope to move you in that direction. You know, it's an honor to be here with you. We absolutely love your pastors, Pastor Joel and Pepe Sims and their family. Do you guys love your pastors? God has just knit our hearts together, man, and we love them so tremendously. And it's an honor to be here on this stage bringing the Word of God to you and encouraging you today. And this idea of going from forced to fierce. Let me introduce just a little bit about who I am and my family. I am the pastor of Family Life Church in Marion, Ohio. It's about 40 minutes north of Columbus, Ohio. It's the town that I grew up in, my hometown. My parents started the church in 1962, so we've been around for about 57 years now. We are now pastoring there. We've been there back 11 years. I grew up in the church. My wife and I co-pastored along with my parents in the 90s for a while. And then God gave us an opportunity to go into full-time ministry, and we were out different places on staff in Chicago with Pastor Steve Muncy for a while, now back in our hometown for about the last 11 years, and it's an honor and a privilege. This is a picture of my family. This is my beautiful wife, Kathy. Kathy is actually speaking back home today at Family Life Church. She's an amazing communicator and teacher. We've been married for 28 years. Is that amazing? Yeah. So we got married when we were 10, and this is our son, Grant, on your left. He is 17. He's the drummer in our band. Grant's also a filmographer. He's an amazingly talented young man, has his own business already, and is just doing amazing things. Allie is she just turned 12 yesterday, so she's 12, and she is highly administrative. At 12 years old, Allie is the service coordinator in our kids' ministry. So she runs around every week with an iPad in her hand, looking at planning center and telling everybody where they need to be and what they need to do. So it's perfect mom training, as well as, I'm just kidding. She is highly administrative, does a fantastic job with that. She's just a beautiful, amazing young girl. And then we have Max in the front. He's 7, and we call him the icing on the cake. He's the one we didn't really expect, but we're so glad he's here. We also call him icing because he's like pure sugar. And by that, I mean he's like a constant adrenaline rush. Energy, energy, energy. Max is absolutely amazing. And then every week, I have the distinct honor and privilege of worshiping next to my mom, who is 89 years old. This is a picture of her teaching Victor College, our Bible college. And every week she's right beside me on the front row, both services. Head back, singing at the top of her lungs, every Hillsong song that she doesn't know the lyrics to. And it is absolutely a joy of mine to stand next to her and a privilege and honor to minister in the ministry that she and my dad founded. And guys, I gotta tell you, I absolutely love the heritage and the history of Word of Life. It is so endearing to me to know that your pastor is following a similar trajectory that God has us on in this season. And I just wanna pause and give honor to Mama, just for all that you've done to pour into establishing this house. It's an honor. We've not even met yet, but I know God has put our hearts together as well. Thank you for all that you've done to help create this environment and atmosphere that we all now get to enjoy church. Come on, can we give some honor today? Thank you for being fierce. I want to talk to you about this idea of going from forced to fierce today. Let me ask you this question. In fact, turn to your Bibles, if you would, or your apps, whatever you're using today, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. And I want to read this to you because I want to talk to you specifically. And what I hope to do is help you to tap into what I call spiritual instincts. Spiritual instincts. Now, your spiritual instincts are different than your natural instincts. Our natural instincts or our fleshy instincts or our emotional instincts are different than our spiritual instincts. And when we say yes to Jesus in our lives, we make a switch out of our natural instincts and we now are led by our spiritual instincts. The Bible teaches us that we don't walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. And so there's a whole different level of spiritual instinct that we have to tap into if we're going to get fierce about the things of God. Spiritual instinct. So I hope to help you today to move out of, maybe today you feel a forcedness, you feel forced to serve God, or you feel forced to be at church, you feel forced in this relationship. But I want to help to move you from force today to fierce, and to begin tapping into the spiritual instincts that God has put inside of you, specifically for the purpose of serving God's people in the local church, in this local body. So let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. That's what the Bible teaches us. That just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong, somebody say belong, to each other. I want you to look at the person next to you and just tell them, say, I belong with you. Now, hopefully, if you're here on a first date, that might have worked out pretty good for you. Pastor, thank you. Awesome. You can just tell them, say, I didn't plan that. I didn't send in a note and say, hey, could you do a little? No. Look at the other person next to you and just tell them, say, you belong with us. See, I believe that today, everybody is looking for a place to belong. Your friends today are looking for a place where they can belong. The people that you work with are looking for a place where they can belong. Everybody who walked through the doors, drove onto the parking lot, or walked through the doors today of Word of Life is looking for a place where they belong. If you've been here for any length of time, you probably feel that already, that you belong here. If you're new here today, your first time, maybe your second or third time, you might be still trying to figure out, do I belong here? But I want you to know that if you're in this room today, you belong here. You belong here today. God has a place for you, and you belong. And everybody is looking for a place where they belong. Not just a place where they can hang out, not just a place where they're comfortable or cool things are happening, but a place where they can find identity and purpose, a place where they can get fierce about being a part of the culture and the community. We all want to belong. Nobody likes the feeling of not belonging. It's like being at somebody else's family reunion. It's just awkward. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what that's like. You walk in, nobody knows you, you don't know anybody, so you just kind of stand in the corner, nod, Try to find that person that you feel like you can connect with and talk to. So you go up and talk to them. Find out you don't have anything in common. So you just kind of fade back into the corner again. And it's just awkward. It's like being at the junior high dance all over again. Come on, somebody help me out. And when you don't feel that connection, it's hard to want to stay in that scenario. It begins to feel forced. Every conversation is forced. Every interaction is forced. Now compare that to when you walk into hanging out with the people that you love and you know, your own family or your own community, your own group, where everybody knows you. You're high-fiving, you're hugging, you're laughing, all the inside jokes, and you feel like you belong. And here at Word of Life, what we want to do is create an atmosphere where everyone can feel like they belong. And the way that works is we have to go from feeling forced to feeling fierce. Let me talk to you about forced. How many of you have ever felt forced about something in your life? Something you were forced to do. Now, when we feel forced, things that we feel forced about are things that we're really kind of looking for a reason to not do them. When we feel forced, I'm just looking for a way out. I don't want to do this. Imagine the last time you were invited to your second cousin's friend's uncle's daughter's wife's uncle's birthday party. I didn't know if you followed all that or not, but I didn't. And you're like, do I really have to go? I got to go buy a gift. I got to drive clear across town. I don't want to go. And you were looking for any reason to get out of going to that birthday party. Any reason at all would do. It's raining and I don't like to drive in the rain. So I'm not going to go. I'll just text them and tell them happy birthday. Compare that to the last time that you went to your best friend's 50th birthday party and you couldn't wait for all the prank gifts and the laughs that you were going to have and you couldn't get there fast enough. Why? Because in one situation, you were forced to go. In the other situation, you were fierce about going. When we're forced, we're looking for a way out of the scenario. In fact, there's some language that we hear around the idea of being forced. When we're forced, you'll hear things like this, and pay attention to this part, but this will help you to identify when you feel fierce and when others around you might feel forced. When you feel forced, you say things like, well, I have to, which has to do with obligation. I have to do this. Or we might say, I need to, which has to do with need. There's a need, something missing in my life, and I need to do this. Or we might say, well, if I don't, which is connected to fear. When we're forced, we're acting out of a place of either obligation, need, or fear. And none of those things will sustain our efforts. None of those things will cause us to get up day after day after day for the long haul. Because immediately, we're trying to get out of that situation. We're forced. In fact, we would say it this way. When we feel forced, we would say this. When I'm forced, you're going to have a hard time talking me into it. You better tick all the boxes, have everything lined up, make it super easy for me to do, because if I'm forced, I'm looking for a reason to not do it, so you better cover all the bases if you want me to be engaged. You're going to have a hard time talking me into it. On the other hand, there are things about which we feel fierce. We feel fierce. Maybe those are your kids. Maybe you feel fierce about your kids. Maybe you feel fierce about your career. Maybe you feel fierce about your health. Maybe you feel fierce about serving in the local church. When we feel fierce about something, we would say it this way. You're going to have a hard time talking me out of it. We talk about fierceness, we're talking about our passions, things that we're passionate about. You see, when we're in a forced situation, it's because there are external influences that are creating a scenario in which we must respond. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a health issue. Maybe you've gone through a health crisis, and now out of that health crisis you say, I need to get in shape. I have to eat right. If I don't, something bad is going to happen. And we're motivated out of a place of obligation, need, and fear. And that's why often we see when people go through a health crisis, for about 6 to 9 months, they'll dig in. They'll start eating right. They'll hit the gym. You hear all about it. Suddenly, all they talk about is nutrition. How many of you know who I'm talking about? That same person you used to be able to go join and have a burger with, now they're telling you why you've lost your mind for eating a burger. You know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, this is annoying. But they've experienced something that has moved them out of a place of feeling forced to feeling fierce, at least for a season. They're gonna feel like, I'm forced to do this. I don't want to eat this way. I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to think about these things, but I have to. I need to. If I don't, this is what's going to happen. That won't sustain our actions. But talk to somebody who's fierce about their marriage. Talk to somebody who's fierce about their kids. Talk to somebody who's fierce about their health. And these are people you can't talk out of it. These are the people that you can't, no matter what you say, I have tickets to an event, they're not gonna miss their workout. I'm gonna treat you to the best dinner you've ever had. They're not interested because they don't eat that way. They're fierce about what they do. These are the kind of people that when you say, hey, take a Sunday off and come with me, we're gonna go hang out at the lake, they say, no, I gotta go serve at Word Alive Church. They're expecting me to be there. People are counting on me to be at the door to greet them. They're expecting me to wave them into the parking lot. They want me to lead them into worship, and I refuse to miss that because I'm fierce about serving in God's house. You see, I believe that when we say yes to Jesus, we begin to tap into a spiritual instinct. Nobody has to tell that cheetah to get up and run after that wildebeest. Nobody has to say, hey, if you're going to lay here all day, you're going to die of starvation. You better get up and go after that wildebeest. That's all I'm saying. Nobody has to say that. Why? Because it is instinctual for that cheetah to get up and say, if I'm going to eat today, I better run. And for us as believers, it's the same way. If we're going to have all that God says we can have, if we're going to be all that God says we can be, if Word of Life Church is going to accomplish all that God has placed in this church as an assignment, it means that every one of us is going to have to get up and we're going to have to get fierce and run after what God says we can have. And here's what we know, is that we look at many different areas of our lives, from relationships to careers to health to God to the local church, and we see these principles at play. When we feel forced, we're trying to find a way out. But when we're fierce, we're trying to find a way in. When we're forced, you have a hard time talking us into it. When we're fierce, you're going to have a hard time talking me out of it. And this shows up in how we serve the body of Christ, how we serve in the local church. In fact, I want to demonstrate this to you right now. If I could, I have a few guys that are going to volunteer for me here today, going to help me out here on stage. Come on up, guys. Just give them a big hand as they make their way up here. Take your time. I need one more. Is there one more coming? All right, good. All right, awesome. I'm Tom. Ryan, nice to meet you. Christian, nice to meet you. Tony, nice to meet you. You're good, man. Take your time. You look good, too. I like that shirt. Tony, how you doing? So Tony, Christian, Ryan, right? All right, so these guys are going to help me out here to kind of demonstrate this point of being fierce about serving in the local church, fierce about God's people and connecting to your purpose, connecting to the role that you play, helping to support the people of Word of Life Church, the vision of Word of Life Church, and go to that whole other level of getting to where God says you can go. So guys, come on up here real quick if you would. I want you to grab a corner of this piece of plywood. There you go. Come on up here, just working that out. Yeah, you got it. Go ahead and turn the face if you could, just kind of grab and face. There we go. Everybody can see you. Don't they look good? Now, I hope you guys are ready because I'm going to sit on that. All right, this is a chair. You guys represent the four legs of a chair. I'm glad we got nice, strong. Beat the guys up here. Okay. So here's the deal. It's not that bad. No. I go about 200, so about 50 pounds a piece. You guys got it? Anybody want to back out? Okay, good. He said not yet. I like that. So here's the deal, is that every week, people are coming to Word of Life Church, and they're trying to find where they belong. They're trying to find that place where they fit. And they come and they sit, and they enjoy service, they enjoy worship, they enjoy the word, they're excited about what their kids are getting while they're here, in the auditorium with you, receiving from the presence of God and from relationships around you. And they come and they find a place. Go ahead and lower it down for me. I'm not that tall. So if you lower it down there, there you go. There you go. You ready? I'll go slow, so just in case. All right. Here we go. See? And they come and they sit in the Pastor Guerrero. Praise God, Pastor. Amen. Preach it. Yes, amen. Oh, he's never gonna let me down. And I got Tony, Ryan, and Christian. Thank you, Christian. Christian up here helping me out, and they're supporting me being here at Word of Life Church so that I can hear the Word of God. I can enjoy the worship. What's so funny? Somebody, I better stand up. And so they're here every week faithfully serving, but then Ryan says, you know, Pastor, I've been praying a lot about this, and I've been in this role for quite a while now. I've been holding up my corner of the chair for a long time. I just feel God calling me in a different direction. I just feel like God is saying to me in this season, Ryan, you need to take a break. You need to rest, because I'm getting you ready for your next level. So you just need to disengage and spend time with me and meditate on my word and spend time in my presence. So, Pastor, I'm gonna have to disengage from the team. You might not see me for a while, but just know I'm pursuing God. And he disconnects from the team. But people are still showing up to Word of Life Church. And they're still looking for a place to fit. They're still looking for how they engage. They're still looking for how they belong here. And they're still coming and wanting to sit and enjoy the word. Praise God, Pastor, this is a good word. I'm believing for the greater me inside of me that I don't even see. I'm believing God for the best. Oh, he's never gonna let it down. And what's happening in this season is that those that remain have to make adjustments to how they're serving. Because now they've been moved out of their previous position and they're having to carry a heavier load. In fact, what we know is that this heavier load starts to weigh in, and Tony's like, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to be one of four, not one of three. And this is more than I feel like carrying. I got a lot going on in my life. My kids are all over the place. I started a business. I have things that I'm passionate about. And it's now it's taking more time and more effort. And so for those reasons, I'm out. And Tony says, I'm out. He might still show up every now and then, but he starts kind of disappearing off the radar. And what's happening at Word of Life Church? People are still showing up. People that need Jesus. People that need answers. People that need healing. Need restoration and redemption. Anybody glad today that this is a healing house? Anybody glad today that this is a restoring house? This is a place where you can find purpose. Where you can. Anybody glad today you have Word of Life Church in your life? And people come, they still come, trying to find a place to belong. And they still want to sit and enjoy. And like, praise God. Yes, Pastor. Bring it. Just what I needed to hear today. God, you're speaking to me through Pastor Joel today. And I'm so, so grateful, Lord. I'm just going to linger here in the presence of God for a little bit. People still trying to find a place to belong, but what's going on now? Now there's even a heavier load for those who are still serving to carry because people are still showing up. But here's what we know, is we know that Christian, when Ryan exited, was already plotting his exit. He saw Ryan go, which kind of surprised him because he never thought Ryan would disconnect. Tony, he kind of knew, was already on the fence, but Christian was like, man, my guys are gone, I'm out. I liked being around the guys. I liked the relationships. That's why I was in this in the first place. I'm not really that passionate about holding up the seat. So Christian says, I'm out. I'm done.
They can find somebody else.
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Tony, I don't know you, but I already love you.
Yes, sir.
I love this position, man, but this isn't going to work for me. You're going to have to carry me, Tony. People. You all right, man? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're back. People are still showing up, church. Still showing up. Still need carried. Still need helped. And it's people like Tony that we love. Why? They're the strong ones. They're the ones that'll never give up. No matter how many people leave their post, no matter how many people say, I can't serve anymore, you can count on Tony to show up. And Tony's the reason we keep coming back to Word of Life Church. He's the face that we see. He's the strength that we feel. He's the encouragement that we get. He's the one. And we know statistically in the church today, this is a picture of the local church. Amen. About 20% of the people in the local church are actively engaged in the work of the local church. This is the picture. And aren't you thankful today for people like Tony who will carry their load? Now, the good news is Christian, man, thank you. How many of you are thankful for Christian being around here? And Tony, thank you, man. Ryan, thank you, buddy. Everybody give them a big hand. But this is the picture. And so what we have to do is we have to find a way to get fierce about serving in God's church. Now, before there ever was a nonprofit status in an organization, before the United States government ever said, we will recognize a church as an entity, Jesus said this of the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. You see, when you serve at Word of Life, you're not serving a 501c3 nonprofit. You're serving God's people. You're not just serving in the parking lot. You're serving the people that drive onto the parking lot. You're not just serving at the door. You're serving the souls that walk through the door. You're not just helping people find a seat. You're helping them find where they belong in this body. And when we get fierce about God's people, we get fierce about our own journey and what God has done for us, we'll find a way to grab a corner of the seat and say, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to pray for you. You can count on me to carry my part of the load, because I want to create a place where anybody can find a place. I want to create a place where anybody can hear the life-changing truth of the message of Jesus Christ and find a place to belong. And we get fierce about serving God's people. You know, when I was in eighth grade, I tried out for the wrestling team. And contrary to the physical specimen that you see here on the stage today, had you seen me in eighth grade, everybody in this room would have said, oh, absolutely, definitely, this kid should not try out for wrestling. So I tried out for wrestling. And on the very first practice I went to, I was standing on the wrestling mat, waiting on coach to show up, and there was one other of the guys that was on the team that was there. And he walks up to me and he says, hey, let's have our own little wrestling match before practice. And I started to say, no, I'm good. And by the time I got good out of my mouth, I was flat on my back on the mat with a busted lip. And this kid standing over me and going, got ya. I was like, maybe wrestling's not for me. And then coach shows up and he says, all right, everybody, let's go. We're gonna start running. Because apparently, to wrestle, you have to be in shape. And so we started running. And we ran around and around and around the school. And it was somewhere around lap 4 or 5 that I finally decided, wrestling's not for me. It's a little more work than I thought it was going to be. And so I dropped out of wrestling. Why? Because I wasn't fierce about wrestling. I was in a forced situation. I had put myself in the situation, but I wasn't fierce about it. And later on in life, when I was in college, I was studying engineering, architectural engineering. I wanted to be an architect. And so I was going through all the classes, drawing and so on. I was loving it, doing really well. And then I had to enroll into an advanced English class, which I don't hate English. I just didn't want to take English. I'm like, what do I need to do this? And it was clear across campus. It was a long way from the parking lot to get to my English class. And so I started trying to find ways that I could not have to do English. And I was forced to do English. Didn't want to do it, but I had to do it. And then one Saturday, I was playing football with some friends and got tackled and severely sprained my ankle. And so I was on crutches. And I was like, oh, there's no way I could go clear from the parking lot to English class on crutches. It's just simply too far. And so I dropped out of class and dropped out of engineering. Went on to study other things, but I gave up on that pursuit. Why? Because I sprained my ankle. You know, the same thing happens in the local church all the time. People say, hey, engage on the team, serve, find a place where you can serve, find a passion. Help us to greet people, welcome people in, create an atmosphere and an environment. And people will say like, well, I don't like that leader, so I'm not going to serve. I don't want to wear that t-shirt, so I'm out. The schedule's too hectic for me. I just can't do it. And the truth is that we say those things because we feel forced. But what if we could find a way to walk from forced to fierce? What if we could say, God, I know what you've done for me. I know what the word does for me. I know what being with your people does for me. And so I'm going to get fierce about serving those around me. I'm going to get fierce about being engaged in the work of ministry. You didn't talk me into it, and you can't talk me out of it. Now, later on in life, we were serving with my mom and dad, as I mentioned, in the 90s. We were driving van, speaking every weekend, doing the kids' ministry, playing in the worship band, and speaking on a weekly basis. As well, I was working 60-plus hours a week as an IT manager at our local hospital. Did that for 9 years. And after about 9 years of it, we were like, God, we are passionate about ministry. We would love to just solely be focused on ministry. So one day I was walking into the hospital, and I prayed this prayer out loud as I was walking in. I said, God, we will go anywhere you want us to go. We'll do anything you want us to do. I got to my desk, and I had a voicemail on my phone. And that voicemail was from a friend in Oklahoma City that was a pastor of a local church. And he said, hey, we'd love to talk to you about coming on staff as our student pastor. And so I hung up the phone, I called my wife right away, and I said, hey, I just got this voicemail, and I believe we're supposed to say yes. And so as a result of that phone call, we said yes to our very first full-time ministry-only role. We've been bivocational ministry for a very, very long time. God opened the door for us, but it meant leaving family. We moved to a place where we didn't know anybody. It meant taking a major pay cut in salary. Almost a 60% cut in salary to go and pursue what we felt we were passionate about doing. But I can tell you right now, there's not a person on earth that could have talked us out of it. Why? Because we were fierce about what God had for our future. We didn't feel forced to do it. We felt fierce about doing it. And it was that moment that started the journey that we're on today, now pastoring the church back in the place where God started us in my parents' church, growing the church, impacting the community, making a huge difference in where we are, and God's growing up people, lives are being changed, souls are being changed. Why? Because we got fierce about God's call on our life. Now, I'm not bragging about that. There are people who have done far more amazing things than that. All I'm saying is that at some point, we have to make the decision to say, I'm going to get out from underneath the shade tree, and if I'm going to eat today, I got to run. If I'm going to see God's best in my life, I'm going to have to run. If we're going to see the best for Word of Life Church, we're going to have to all get engaged and run. In my opinion, there's no reason that 100% of God's people shouldn't be serving in the local church. That when we look at the percentages across God's kingdom, everybody should find a place because you serve a purpose. You play a role in other people's journeys. So I want to encourage you in that today to find your place and to get engaged. And today, this team is going to help you do that. You're going to have the opportunity to send a text, sign a card, stop by a room, get engaged, and serve. And I asked Pastor Ryan, I said, hey, can you give me a list of everybody's name that's going to be there today? Because I'm going to call them personally if I don't see their name on the serving roll this coming week. I'm kidding. Everybody's like, whoa, he's serious. I am serious about serving. That person next to you needs the gift that you have. They need to see what God has done in your life. And it leads us to this final place today as the band comes. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, how do we do this? The first thing that we have to do, church, is get fierce about each other. Get fierce about the journey that's next to you right now. Fierce about being an influence in the life of that person. Then we have to get a vision for how we impact the vision of this church family and the lives around us. And then we have to build appreciation for what God has done for us in this place. And if he's done something great for you, if he's moved in your life, then we look and we say, I'm going to let God use me to hold up my corner of where someone belongs. And then we sign up, we get engaged, we take the step, we do it. You know, we had a young couple that joined our church a couple years ago, young family. And when they started attending, their family's in turmoil. In fact, at the time they started attending, the dad would go on later to say, the husband would go on later to tell us that they were actually separated. He was actually sleeping on the floor of a friend's house. They started attending our church. And every week he said, every week I would come to church and I would hear Pastor Tom saying, engage, 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 get involved, find your place, serve, get engaged. He said, and every week I would say, not going to do it. Not me. Too busy. Don't want to. He said, this went on for a really long time, for almost 2 years every week. There was this battle going on inside of me. I felt forced. He said, but then I reached a point where I said, you know what? Unless something changes, everything stays the same. If I want a different reality for my family, I have to do something different. He said, and I got fierce about wanting all that I'd heard God said I could have for not only my life, but for my family's life. I didn't want to wake up on the floor in somebody else's house anymore. I wanted my family to be intact. And he got fierce about it. And he engaged. He went through our growth track process. Got connected to a team. Today, he serves on our worship team. Plays guitar. He's an amazing guitarist. His family is involved in ministry. He just came through 2 years of Victor College. Graduated as a Victor College student in our local church. Is now a part of our leadership team and a huge influence in our church. His family is getting involved, engaging in the work of ministry. And I'm convinced today, and I'm convinced because he's convinced. What he tells us is, had I not taken the step to engage, had I not gotten fierce about serving God's people, I never would have found my place. If I never would have found my place, my family never would have been salvaged. My life never would have been changed. And I'm convinced that in this room today, there are stories and journeys that are believing for God to impact your future. In fact, I believe today you're praying. You might even be confessing and saying, God, I know you have greater things for me. God, I know this isn't going to be my reality forever, but you're taking me to a higher place, a greater place, a stronger place. And I want you to know that God can't promote those who are not engaged. When we find a place to serve, we put ourselves in position for God to promote us to the next level. God promotes those whose hands are engaged and are working. The way that you find yourself, you find your way to that next level, is to begin serving right where you are. It's by walking out of here today and literally going to the room and signing up, sending that text message, writing your name on that card. You might not know where yet. You might not know how yet. But this team here will help walk you through the process. And what we know is that when you find your place, in the house of God, you're going to begin to flourish. Something inside of you begins to come alive, a whole new level of instinct. You'll find yourself getting up on Monday and saying, I've got to run. God has greater things for me. You'll find yourself connected to a Sunday morning saying, I can't miss it. I own a corner, and somebody's life is going to be impacted by my service today. And you'll begin to get fierce about serving the body of God. And God says, that's somebody I can empower. That's someone I can promote. That's someone I can take to the next level. They're leaning on me. They're using their gifts to serve my people, and I can bless them, take them to that place. So today's the day, church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, 14 and 15 says this. This is all going to continue till we come into the unity of Christ. We'll no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us. But instead, verse 15, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. I want to pray for you today. Everybody just bow your heads with me if you would. But Father, I believe that by the Holy Spirit, the word that needed to be spoken, every person in this room today has been spoken. Holy Spirit, I trust that right now you're doing the work to shape and mold it for every heart, every journey. Lord, I speak over this church family today a spirit of fierceness. Fierceness about their relationship with you. Fierceness about where they fit in this work. Fierceness about how they serve the person next to them. And I pray today, God, that as a result of this season, there'll be an unprecedented level of engagement at Word of Life. And that because of that, more and more journeys are impacted. More and more people are connected. More and more people finding Christ, being saved from hell. Being connected to eternity with you. So I thank you for the grace and the anointing to find their place, discover their purpose, and to serve with passion. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed today, if you'd say, Pastor Tom, I've not yet committed my heart to Christ. Or maybe you would say today, I know that I've drifted. I'm distant from God, but I don't want to be. I want to reconnect with Christ today. Here's some good news. The good news is that God loves you. And Jesus is passionate about you. He's fierce about you. So no matter what's happened in your past, no matter where you are today, the grace of God and the love of God transcends all those things, and he'll bring you into relationship with him right now. Right now. And your path can shift. So I want to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ into my life. I want to say yes to Jesus. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand right now all across the room. If you're here and you say, that's me, I want to pray that prayer. I want to pray that prayer. Thank you for all those hands. Come on, be fierce about it. Don't be afraid. I'll give you one more opportunity. Anybody else before we pray? Say, that's me. Thank you for those hands. You can put your hands down. Church, can we give everybody who raised their hand now a huge cheer? Come on, be fierce about it. Come on, let them know how excited we are. Everybody just close your eyes with me and pray this prayer out loud. If you raise your hand, just mean this from your heart. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe the Spirit of God raised you from the dead, and you're alive today. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. And I'm inviting you to lead me in life. I make you my Lord, and help me to be all you've created me to be. Amen. Come on, somebody give him a big cheer today.